We're really up to your aim, but I want to just go through the beginning of Tosfos together again. I wanted most of one Nakuda. Maybe one and a half Nakudas. And then we'll dive into the Urim. Tosfos Vavam Beis. Nachamo. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world. He gave us the Torah. The Torah is 613 mitzvahs. One of the mitzvahs is Vasukas Teish Veshivas Yamin. What this sukkah looks like is left mysterious in the Torah Shebichtav. The Torah Shebichtav fills in more. We learn from a pasuk later in the Chumash, Ba'aspacham Yigarnacham Yikvecha, that the shade provided by the shade giver, the sukkah, is specifically from Schach that's going to be similar to Pseolas Garn V'Yakev. So it's a plant material that's no longer attached. It's not Mekav V'Toma. What do the walls look like? So that's the subject of Sukkah Davav V'Mabez. Basukas, basukas, basukas. The Gemara's first approach is that the Machlokas HaTanaim, Reb Shimon, the Chacham, whether you have 2 1/2 walls or 3 1/2 walls. The first of the five approaches was that the machlokas is, or the yeshem la mikre yeshem la masos. The Tosfos jumps in right away and starts giving an answer to 2 unspoken questions, and maybe even 3, but 2 questions that become clear as the next couple of lines unfold. Let's see this once again. Kulu modu, says Tosfos, vavam beiz masecha sukkah. Kulu modu, the darshinan mikre umasoris. Gemara presents here, and in Sanhedrin, and elsewhere. But you have to understand, they all agree the darshin on mikra umasaras. Everyone agrees the darshin mikra. Everyone agrees the darshin masaras. Why? The law of chinam nichtav came. Because it wasn't written this way for naught. Nichtav specifically, because right now the Yadir Maschel is saying Yeshem LaMikra, even though Rabbi Shimon is saying we darshan Mikra, but it can't be that he thinks that the Ksiv is pointless. But the way it's spelled in Chumash doesn't mean anything. It's just for no good reason. Kosh Baruch just randomly decided to spell that way in the Torah Shebichtav. Of course not. So even though Rabbi Shimon says Yeshem LaMikra, Avada, Rabbi Shimon would hold it both Mikra and Masoros. And Chachamim, who say Yeshem Masoros, Avada they hold as a reason for the Mikra too, and therefore you could darshan both. Right? So that's already spelling out. Question number one is Svara, Hayitachin, that you could say Yeshem Mikra or the Masoros and ignore the other one. How could it be that the other one is not significant? The answer is no, Avada, they're both significant. And therefore, in principle, we should darshan both. And he's not only in principle do we darshan both, but in practice, we do typically darshan both. It's just that b'milsta mikra shi'adadi peligi. The whole machlokas is just in a situation where you can't darshan both because they're mutually exclusive. Like here, either you're going to count this number or that number. Either counting that word as 1 or as 2. B'sukas or b'sukas. And marsavra mikra ikra. So Rabbi Shimon says, when you have to choose, so in the hierarchy, Mikra will win over Masar. So how do I know that? That fundamentally, I'm darshaning both, and the whole machlokas is a much narrower machlokas. It's just what do you do when there's a conflict, but when there's no conflict, of course, everyone agrees to darshan both. Like we find the Rabbi Akiva. Take a look at the Tanya Rabbi Akiva. If you trace Rabbi Akiva through different Gemaras, you're going to be struck by Akasha, which Tosfos says, my Yisod answers. Kidashkan Rabbi Akiva, we find the Rabbi Akiva. Reish Sanhedrin. Begin Masech HaSanhedrin Daf Da'alad, we saw that Gemara, Yesh Eim LaMikra. The Gemara explicitly tells us Rabbi Akiva is a Yesh Eim LaMikra man. And yet, you turn to Maseches Pesachim, the second parak, parak Kol Shot, the second parak of Maseches Pesachim, major sugyas of matzah, among other things, find their home in parak Kol Shot. Parak Kol Shot, Gabi Lechem Oni, the Gemara is analyzing what's the significance of the term in Parshas Re'eh that the matzah is bread of oni, the darish mikra umasaris. Looking at both. He's looking both at oni, the way they pronounce it, Lashon Aniya, is bread of speech, bread of conversation, but also Lashon Ani, it's spelled chaser, so it looks like oni. It's lechem oni in the sense it has to be not matzah shira, that it can't be added ingredients, it can't be too big, and it's supposed to dafka be broken, mardarko shol oni beprusa, the Rebbe Akiva is accepting both. So, in other words, the kasha is, Ayi tafen, Rikiva darshan both, but either how does the Gemara go on in Sanhedrin to say, Eshem la mikra, steer between Sanhedrin and Psachim. In Sanhedrin he says, Eshem la mikra. In Psachim he seems to hold Yeshem la mikra umasaurus. So which one is it? The Torah says, the answer is, Avad, everyone holds of both. There's no stira, in Psachim, there's no stira. It's entirely plausible, and that's what we do. Our matzah does not have added ingredients. Our matzahs are not too big. Our matzahs are broken. We do yachatz. So we do have it. We follow the masores of Ani, and we also follow the mikra. We have magid before motzi matzah. So we have a lechem sha'onim all of Dwar Marvis. So you can do both. So that's what Tosa says. Yeah, Avad, everyone agrees to do both. Oh, machlokus. It's not a machlokus in general. Should I always ignore the mikra? Should I always ignore the masores? So Avad and generally have both. Just when in those situations, specific subset of cases where there's a steer, a mikshia dadi, like the Gemara in Sanhedrin, so then Rabbi Akiva would say you give primacy to the mikra. But then the Gemara goes on, and the truth is, I think Yehuda was the one who raised this yesterday, and we did not get back to it. I want to get back to it. Now I had a chance to look at some guys, of course, of morning stated this. So there's if you follow the paper trail, it's gorgeous. Tosas isn't done with Rabbi Akiva. They would have stopped right here. Geshmak. Yeah, the Gemara Sanhedrin says, Rabbi Akiva says, Yeshem la mikra. Gemara Psachim, where he does both. Tosas looks like a stira. Right? That's kasha number two. And the answer is, like I said before, no, that's not a problem. That's the way Yeshem and mikra works. But then he goes on to say, there's a third Gemara of Rabbi Akiva. There's a Mishnah in the third parak of Masech Hezukah. The Mishnah is talking about Arba Mina, Mishnah Labadala Beis. How many do you have to have of each? So the other Tanavi Rishmal says, the way we do, you have an Esther Galulav, three Hadassim, and two Arabs. That's a Tanavi Rishmal. Rabbi Kiva says, Kashem Shulav Echad Be'esar Echad, Kach. You also have to have one Hadass and one Arava. Interesting. That's a Mishnah on Labadala Beis. Now, the Gemara there doesn't comment much on Shitas Rabbi Kiva. It does comment on Shitas Rishmal. You look at the Gemara Lama Beis Amud Aleph earlier, at one point you have to read Mamash to the very last line. The Gemara there isn't really talking about Rabbi Kiva per se, but it is explaining why we have one lulav, which is something that everyone agrees to include in Rabbi Kiva. The Tosfos assumes that what the Amorah, and one later Amorah, Rabbi Tosfa, what he says there is presumably Pshat Rabbi Kiva as well. Okay, a little bit of a leap there, but that seems to be what Tosfos is. The Tosfos doesn't spell out here, but if you follow the paper trail, put all the pieces together, Tosfos is saying, Amorah is commenting why we have one lulav. Well, Rabbi Kiva does agree that we have one lulav, so we presume that's Pshat Rabbi Kiva as well as Rabbi Shmuel. Okay, so with that in mind, what does the Gemara say? Toshini Bigmar, you could take a look, you don't have to take my word for it. You have a Masechah Sukkah in front of you. Lamed Aleph Beis is a Mishnah. And then Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara, as we talk about a different issue. The Gemara is talking about the fact that Rabbi Huda said you have to wrap your tie up the lulav. The Gemara has other drushes from the word kapos. The Gemara says, Amalei Ravatos, right before the two dots near the bottom, Amalei Ravatos Fa L'Ravina, the very end of the period of the Amirah. Ravatos Fa says to Ravina, Ve'ematarti Kapi, the Tamri. If it says Kapos Tamarim, palms, Lama Be'ez Amaraf. Lama Be'ez Amaraf, like the eight lines before the end. Nine lines for the bottom. Eight lines. Amalei Ravatos Fa L'Ravina, Ve'ematarti Kapi de Tamri. Maybe you have to have two lulavim. After all, it says kapos tamarim. I said, no, kapasksiv. It's spelled without a vav. It's it's spelled without a vav. And that looks like what? That looks like what? Okay. So the question, right, exactly, that's Masoras. But Rabbi Kiva holds up this thing. Now again, you could have said, maybe the answer is, well, who says he's saying Alibad Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, maybe he's only saying Alibad Rabbi Kiva. And if you look at the Mishalam and Dalam Beis, take a look at the very top of the two Mishnahs, the top of Lama Dalam Beis, Rabbi Shmuel says, Shlosha Hadasim Shteya Ravos Lulav Echad Esrog Echad. Okay, and then he and Rabbi Tarfon get into Machlokas about what the part that they're cut, which is not our issue. And then the end of the Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Keshem Shalulav Echad, V'Esrog Echad, Kachadas Echad, V'Arava Achas. We pass on Lacham Ayas like Rishmal on that issue. Okay, so there you have Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva agree, one Esrog, one Lulav, and they disagree whether you have, according to Rabbi Kiva, one Hadas, one Arava, or according to Rabbi Shmuel, three Hadasim and two Aravas. And Rabbi Kiva said that it's like a Keshem Kach. The fact that there's one Esrog, one Lulav, that teaches us there's one Hadas and one Arava. It sounds a lot like a Hekesh. Hekesh is when you have multiple items in a single Pasuk. So the implication, the fact that Torah put them in a single Pasuk, is that there's something to be, that they share as many dinim as possible. Literally, Hekesh is to bang together. So the Torah squeezes two different items, two different ideas, two different dinim into a single Pasuk. So that tells me I'm supposed to equate them as much as possible. So it sounds like Rabbi Kiva is making Hekesh. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Shmuel reads the Pesukim, the language of the Pesukim. Anafes Avos, Arvei Nachal sounds like this two. Anafes Avos sounds like this three. Okay. Fine. Now, then you have, okay, so you have machlokas over Hadas and Ravas, agreement about one lulav, one esrog, Lama Dalam Beis. Lama Beis and Alf, the Gemara explains why there's one lulav. How come there's one lulav and not two? Again, a din to which both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva agree. And the Gemara says, oh, I'll tell you why. It's because Kapas Ksiv. Right? And now, with that in mind, take a look back at Tosfos. With the parak lulav, Hagazel, now we're back, Vav Amid Beis and Atosos. Right by the parentheses, Lakam and Lama Dalam Beis. Or the Perek Lulav HaGazel. We already had said Sanhedrin, it says Yeshem LaMikra for Rabbi Kiva. Pesachim has both Mikra and Masos. And now, in the third parak of our Masechta, Tanan Rabbi Kiva, we have a Mishnah. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Keshem Shalulav Echad, V'Yasrag Echad, Kachadas Echad, Rav Achas. So, Rabbi Kiva holds that you have one of each, and specifically one lulav. V'dashina b'gemar lam beizam and aleph. The what? How do you know lulav echad? Midiksiv kapas chasrav. That sounds like a problem. Right? And he says that he also has the same problem with Reb Shimon. Here he says Eshem la mikra. Kiddushin says mikra and masaris. Right? So what's Tosis's answer? The answer is no. Everyone holds them both. It's just a question of what do you do when you have a steer? Which would be lovely, except, and this is, I think, what Yehuda pointed out in Shiras, right? Except, one second. If Rabbi Kiva always says both, and then sometimes says just Mikra, we're good. But we have all three options. Sanhedrin, he says Yeshel and Mikra. In Pesachim, he says both. And then later in Masechta Sukkah, he's saying just Masoras. And you're ignoring? I mean, Kapas means one lulav, Kapos means two. That's a stira. That's a stira. That's not. Someone asked. No? Someone asked. That was Yaakov's question? Okay. Shkach. So I said, one second. This is a classic. This is no better than Sukkos versus Sukkos. What's the answer? Right? So we haven't solved that. So that sounds like a real stira. A stira between Sanhedrin, where Kiva says Yeshem on Nikra, and the third parak of Sukkah, where he seems to be saying, even with Tosis is Chiddush, he's still saying Yeshem la Masoras, because he's preferring Masoras over, Mikra. So if you follow the instructions, Tosis there, take a look back at Sukkah Lamed Beis. Really brief Tosis. The bottom Tosis. Kapas Ksiv. Lamed Beis and Aleph, yes. My last tesis, kapas ksev, v'hai kuli alma modu di'esh eim lamasoros. Tosfos says, ooh, here, Evan agrees that Shem Lasaris. Meaning, I know that the Gemara Sanhedrin says Rabbi Akiva is a Mikra man, but here, both Rabbi Akiva and Yishmael agree, we're following Masaris. Vitzarech Taima. And this requires explanation. Meaning, Vitzarechim. What's going on? Drop the mic. And it says, it's good, Kasha. I don't know if there's. It's a problem. It's a problem, yeah?
So, at this point, we're saying it's not
exactly. This is a problem. This is a good kasha. Tosis is making it seem like this problem is solved. In other words, Tosis presented us with three possibilities in Rabbi Akiva. One, two, three. Right? In Sanhedrin, the Gemara says explicitly that he holds the Yesh saying Lamikra. Right? In Psachim, he says Mikra Amasaurus. And then in Sukkah Paragimel, he seems to be saying just Masoros. Tosef presents it as, this all is answered by my Yisod. And Yaakov Lauer is saying, well, this is answered by his Yisod. But how is this answered by his Yisod? Because in Sukkah, the Sukkah Paragimel, we're going with Masoros only. So Tosos' idea, again, it's important to understand Tosos. Tosos' idea was, everyone holds a Mikra and Masoros. And the Chiddush Aran Sanhedrin goes in a somewhat different direction, but this point he makes very powerfully. Everyone holds a Mikra, everyone holds a Masoros. Well, Orthodox Jews. Vada, everyone holds a significance to both. It's just a detailed question. This is what Tosos said, but the detailed question, normally I would always darshan both. The machlokas is when they're contradictory and I have to choose this one, which one do I choose? Okay. So that would explain why when I can do both, like in Psachim by Matzah, I do both. When I cannot do both, Rabbi Akiva says, Ishem Lamikra. But then the problem, Tosis seems to think, Tosis presents that they are answering this third Gemara as well with their Yisod. Yeah?
Is
Tosis
answering a question? I thought he's bringing this.
I understand. That's another way of asking a question and answering it. It's very important to recognize this pattern. Very often, Rashi will do this all the time. Well, Rashi won't do this explicitly all the time. But Tosfos typically will say, "Vim tomar v'yesh lomar," here's my kasha and here's my answer. But a good percentage of the time, I think Tosfos more than the Chachmei Sfarad, more often, let's say, a Rashi or Ritva, Tosfos will ask a implied question. I mean, they won't tell you, "V'im tomar, here's my kasha, v'yei shlomo, here's my teretz." They'll do often, but frequently, they'll say, here's a yesod, and that's why X, Y, Z. So that's a different way of presenting a teretz to a kasha. And it's very, very, very important to recognize that. And you'll start to see, once you're aware of that, you'll start to see all the time. If you forget about the content of Tosfos, it's incredibly important in learning Tosfos to pick that up. When he says, everyone agrees that Mikra Umasores, because after all, lo achiyam nichtav, because after all, that's about Rabbi Akiva, that's another way of organizing the following. V'im tomar, v'chi achiyam nichtav came. The old Yesha Hakshos, how could it be Rabbi Akiva says Yesha Mikra, but over there he doesn't. The Yesh Loimar. No, Evan agrees, Darshi and Travayu. And the whole Machlok is only Hechad and Mikrashu. It's very, very important to recognize that pattern, just in terms of the language, just in terms of the structure of Tosfos. This is a, if you like modern Hebrew, you can call it a Kushiyah Smuya. A hidden question, an implied question. Whatever you want to call it, I don't care what you call it, but this is two implied kashas. As I was talking about yesterday, we read in the Tosfos. That's critical. That's something that will help you in learning 1,000 Tosfos. This is another way, this is probably the second most common way that Tosfos presents a kasha. The most common way is Vim Toma, Yesh L'smoa, here's my kasha, here's my teretz. But the second most common way, they'll just say something and say, oh, and that's why X. Meaning, I have a kasha X, and here's my teretz. But sometimes they just say, as you sometimes later, like Achrona will sometimes, the twist is they'll say, Ein lahakshos, XYZ because ABC. That's a way of saying, Yesh Lahak shows XYZ, the Im Tom XYZ, Yesh Lahimer ABC. Don't ask this. That's what Tosfos is saying. Don't be bothered that Al Chinam Nichtav Kain. Don't be bothered by the theory of Akiva, because don't worry, here's the explanation. They're giving a tarot to Sakasha. It's two kashas. By the way, Urayim asks these same kashas explicitly. And you learn that Urayim, he says, what's going on here? You have all these theorists. Rabbi Kiva says this, Rabbi Kiva says that, Rabbi Shimon here, and then he says, and also, Odeh Shosmoa, what on earth is going on? What do you mean? Are you talking to any Tana doesn't hold the both? So he, Urayim Mamash lays it out, Kasha, Kasha, and then he's very dramatic about, I will give you an answer, that will be Yashiv of all the Kashas. Right? So Tosis is being less dramatic, and they're giving perhaps a different answer, Urayim was from the body of Tosis. They're all bothered by those two kashas. Again, a kasha in the Gemara and a kasha in the Svara. Kasha from the Mekoros. Stira, what was Rabbi Kiva? The Gemara here says Rabbi Kiva, this is going to dance Rabbi Kiva like that. And the kasha in the Svara. Forget about what the Gemara say specifically. What does it even mean? Yeshem Mikra. How does an Orthodox Jew ignore either one? Right? So you look through Tosis again. And it should become clear to you after you have the Tosis inside that Tosis is asking two kashas and giving an answer. The two kashas are a kasha misvara v'chiyal chinam nichtav kain, and a kasha migemara, a kasha from nusach, from lashon, from the sources that Rebbe Kiva just we've got to make up our mind. That Amoran Sanhedrin say v'kilz yeshem l'kira Amoran v'psachem. I mean the brisa v'psachem has Rebbe Kiva darshin both, and later on the sechah sukkah the Gemara is going with masuras only. And we're saying that to explain a shita which Rabbi Kiva holds of. So you could try to get out of it, but it sounds like both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. It sounds like Ravina is explaining both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, who both agree, Lulav Echad. Here's why they both hold Lulav Echad, because Kapaskim. But that's Masoros. So Tosus in On Location, the third parak, Lama Beis Lamed Aleph, says, ooh, that's sticky. Yikes. Everyone holds the Hashem of Masoros? Here. Hacha. All of a sudden here, we're going Hashem of Masoros, he doesn't spell it out, which means even for Bekiva. Start timer. Tosfos says, yikes, this is a problem. Now our Tosfos, that's Tosfos Lama Beis, says this is a problem. Our Tosfos is sitting pretty. Again, our Tosfos didn't ask it as a kasha, just presented it as, here is something that makes sense given my idea. That's, again, another way of saying, this would have been a kasha. Yesh lomar, my chiddush, my yisayid, namely, no, everyone holds Yeshem, look at Yeshem, I'm sorry, it's just an achogs about hierarchy. So talk about what's going on. See, this is one of the places where if you follow, and try to take more questions in a moment, if you follow instructions, it's helpful. Often good to follow instructions. People at all ages of life have sometimes difficulty following instructions. Sometimes, not relevant to anyone in this room. But theoretically, there are some. It could be you have friends who know people who know a guy who knows another guy who, when he was an adolescent, occasionally had a hobby even not to follow the rules. Such a mitzvah. But often following instructions is helpful. Treftich means it happens. So if you follow instructions, Tosfos there tells you, in the brackets, not Tosfos, whoever in the brackets, maybe it's one of the authors of the Masoros HaShas, in the brackets there, they tell you, ooh, ayein v'asher tirtzu v'psachim v'av v'av. You look at psachim v'av v'av, it's talking very geschmack. Because Tosfos and psachim says, yeah, the reason why we chose Masoros is because there's a little bit of a, it sounds like he's trying to say, doesn't say in these words, a little bit of a hekesh. There's a preference for kapas because it'll fit with esrog, which is next to it. After all, esrog and lulav are next to each other, pri et hadar. That's clearly singular, pri. And then right after is kapos, kapas, tomorrow. So it says, oh, that's why we wouldn't have otherwise chosen kapas, But since it's right next to Esrog, that gives a little more strength to the Esrog side. And if you think it through, gewaltig. Our Tosfos is gorgeous. Now, if you think through the Cheshbon carefully, it's a beautiful, it fits exactly what Tosfos is saying. Because what Tosfos there is saying is there's a little bit of a preference for kapas, because after all, that will fit better with its neighbor, Priyat Hadar. That's fine if, given our Tosfos' Yesod, that everyone fundamentally holds of both Mikra and Masoros. They're both on the table. Just a question, when you can't have both, which one do you choose? So Yeshem LaMikra doesn't mean, as Tosfos said, that we ignore Masoros, Chas V'Shalom. It just means that Mikra has 10 points, and the Masoros has 9 points. So normally, you go with both of them, like in Pesachim. When you're stuck, you can't go with both, so Mikra, you know, is a nose ahead of Masoros. Okay. So if that's the case, that's when we would follow Masoros too, just Mikra, you know, is a little bit stronger, so then I understand in Pesachim. Sorry, later in Masechus Sukkah, there's a little extra, strength, you know, and Mikra is 10 points, Masoros is 9 points. Yeah, but the fact that's next to Esrog gives another 2 points to the Masoros. So in that case, it edges out. In other words, they're both still candidates. They're both meaningful. We would love to have both. That's the Yisrael Bar Tanya. We would love to have both. They're both very meaningful. When there's a conflict and they're contradictory, you got to choose one or the other. So then the Mikra is a little stronger than Masoros. Okay. And so that's why normally we do both. If we can't do both, then normally we're going to go with Mikra. But if conceivable, there could be a case where if there's a little extra reason, a little extra advantage to Masoros, then we'll go with Masoros. All proving gloriously now. Once you see the Tosfos in Pesachim, our Tosfos is golden. Because these are just three different scenarios of how it could play. Given that Mikra and Masoros are both real, it could play out one of three ways. Ideally, like Pesachim, do both. If you can't do both, so it depends. All things being equal, if you can't do both, Mikra wins. That's number one, Sanhedrin. But if you can't do both and Masoros has a little bit of advantage, Masoros will win. Because Masoros is a live option, just slightly less powerful than Mikra. But it's a contender. It's a real contender. They're both live options. So Mikra will typically win. Sometimes Masoros could win if it has an added advantage. So that's our Tosfos. I think that's how you read our Tosfos. I think that's, again, the pattern in terms of appreciating what Tosfos is doing. They're laying out two kashas. They're giving it teretz. And in terms of that nakuda that Yaakov had raised, so I think if you follow, as I said before, you follow the paper trail, you look up the Gemara Lama Beis, and you look at the Tosfos, you follow their instructions, look at Tosfos and Pesachim, and then you plug it back into here, and you cheshbon it through, think gewaldic. Let's take some questions, and let's turn our attention to Yerayim. Izzy, you were waiting before with a question, and Avram, you were waiting before a question, and then Yaakov.
I was going to say before is not so relevant. Now, I have something to ask. Sure.
Who says he can say both in Sanhedrin?
Tosfos goes on to say, "Mamaylo darsh tarbaya kavishuma mi darshi gavin lechem oni." I'm talking about kedushin, not Sanhedrin.
No, you're right. Tosfos does go on, and the bulk of Tosfos says, "One second, we still have more kashas, and they're not all going to fall into place so easily." And that's what I was saying yesterday. So that says, so we're still on the lookout for, is there something that is there some other idea that will really solve the problem? And the Yerayim is seeking to, the Balei Tosfos are bothered by the many kashas, and the Yerayim has an idea that he thinks is going to solve a lot. Avremo.
So Tosfos and Pesachim is saying that use kapas because it works better?
Use kapas because it works slightly better, given context. There's a slight preference for kapas or kapos because of the context of Esrog.
So it's not that any that any individual rabbi has always goes by mikro or always goes by mesores. He just uses whichever works better.
Well, Rabbi Kiva does hold that mikra naturally has a slight advantage over mesores, which is why if you can do both, do both. If you can't do both, then default would be mikra is going to win. If you can't do both and mesores has an advantage, the advantage of mesores could overpower the natural mikra over mesores advantage. In other words, the Agma is saying that tosis of psachim needs our tosis. In order to, you need the two pieces together in order to be miyash of the kash. And that's why our tosis quotes lama beis lama dal, because it works. It all fits in. It all flows from there you sowed here. Yes.
Excuse me? In the case where an argument, like either in the source or in the mikra, and we saw the problem of loach in a mikta.
Yeah, so that we're talking about yesterday. What's talking about loach? What would you do loach in a mikta? That's what we talked about yesterday in Shir, that's where you get parallel to Pshat versus Drash, parallel to the time of the Kra, lo darshin time of the Kra, but time of the Kra is still a relevant part of Torah according to the dominant view in Rishonim. Not everything that's meaningful has to impact practical halacha. For instance, time of the Kra. As the machshava behind the din is an important chelik of Torah, but it doesn't impact how we practice the din, when we do it, when we don't, and how we do it. So in other words, what we're saying is ideally we want halachic practice to follow both mikra and masoras. For instance, by matzah. We actually require that it be not matzah ashira, and we actually require that it be after magid. But in a case where you can't physically require both because they're contradictory, so they say, look, in terms of drasha, meaning the interpretation of halacha, that interpretation of pasuk that's going to determine practice, is going to go with whichever one is yeshem with this or that, but the other one will still be meaningful, but not meaningful halacha. That's the way Pshul Shem Mikra always works. I mean, that's Emikros and Vipshuto. That's Lo Darshin in time to grow. But since you believe that they're both important and meaningful, so ideally, they're both also going to determine practical Lachal Maisa. If they can't, so then you have to figure out which is stronger on the level of Drasha. But it could be one is strong level of Drasha, the other one is still relevant level of Pshat. Or level of Venice. Yeah.
Why is the fact that the desire to be like Israel enough to put Mesoros over the hump? Like, why maybe Rabbi Kiva will say Mikra, and too bad on the fact that we want to have it, we have a preference, it's 2-1.
Yeah, this is a whole goofa. So number one, you're highlighting what our Tosis is driving at. In other words, if it were not true, if Tosi Yisod wasn't true, then this couldn't get off the ground. In other words, it only works because Mikra and Masoros are both real possibilities. They're both important. And then we have to figure out, now it's the child, which one should we choose? Right? That's why it's even possible to say, oh. Now, the truth is, I would say, the answer to your question is particular, is, well, Rabbi Kiva is already darshin a hekesh, it sounds like. That's where we started, right? Rabbi Kiva's language in the Mishnah, Lama Dalam Beis, is kesheng, just like lulav echad neser geched, so too, hadas echad rava achas, which presumably, it could be tamamatzinu, but or it's, I think it probably is a hekesh. Rabbi Kiva already is making that equation. So it's not for the purpose of hadas and arava. That's not hard at all, to say you're going to say that for lulav too. As a matter of fact, it's surprising that the hekesh alone doesn't carry it. But the Gemara did say it's not merely hekesh; it is kapas ksev. But Tosfos and Pesachim say, yeah, but kapas together with the equation to esrog. So, which again, in light of our Tosfos means, they're really both important: the mikra and the mesoros. Which one should we choose? On the one hand, Rabbi Kiva has a default. Slight preference for mikra over masoros. That's what we mean by yesh aim la mikra. Yeah, on the other hand, there's a hekesh here. So that's important. And that, the power, the additional advantage that kapas gets from the hekesh is stronger than the additional advantage that kapos gets from yesh aim la mikra.
Isn't that like saying already after the fact?
fact, meaning Rabbi Akiva, in the mission of Rabbi Akiva, saying that I have, just like I have one Lulavan, I have one Esrog, so too I want to have one, I want to have one Hadas. But how did he get there? Meaning it wasn't that we saw this Mishnah on Lamed Daled Amud Beis, so therefore we apply it back to Lamed Beis and Aleph. It's the fact that once Rabbi Akiva had got to the point of one and one, so he was able to make the Hekesh to one and one by Harava.
So, but Esrog is for sure one.
Right.
And the Mishnah is not a reason. The Mishnah is a simon. I see from the Mishnah that the Mishnah appears to tell me that Rabbi Akiva is darshin Hekesh. Where did he get Hekesh? He didn't get Hekesh from the Mishnah. The Mishnah is post facto. The Mishnah is recording what Rabbi Akiva said. But Hekesh is Misina. Hekesh is one of the methods of Drasha. And we see that Rabbi Akiva was applying, especially given the fact that already we see he's applying Hekesh Mamatzino, but one would guess Hekesh here. It's not surprising at all that he would darshan Hekesh further in the same pasuk, even more closely. You're going from Esrog to Esrog and Lulav are right next to each other. Shmuck. But now the Mishnah doesn't present Kishem Esrog Kach Lulav. So that's maybe part of why the Amorim understood that Lulav is not merely Hekesh, it's actually Kapas. The Tosfos says, yeah, it's Kapas plus Hekesh. So they're working together. Hadassah Rav is already just a straight, plain, pure Hekesh. Okay, now let's spend some time on the Yireim. Let's at least begin. The Yireim. So what does Yireim say? But Vayitcha, as you pointed out before, Tosfos still is playing with kashas. They're not out of the woods. An important yisod, that we saw Rashi already says, the Kitzur, this notion that fundamentally they're both true, and the machlok is just what do you do when you can't have both? Only a machlok is over the subset. It answers, at least somewhat answers, Tosa's two kashas. All Santa mentioned yesterday, a third kasha which Tosa didn't spell out, but which is inspired by Yosef Engel. And then, well, why is this machlok is like all over Shas? Every single time you darshan. Well, every single time. Most times you darshan. Lots of times. It should be 1,000 cases. The answer is no. We like Mikra, we like Mistoras. Both of them are important. Shaila is only those subset of cases where there's a steal. Fine. What does the Yireim say? The Yireim says, now in the first paragraph, the Yireim lays out the one kasha. In the second paragraph, he lays out the second kasha, right? In the first paragraph, he already says, he gets started with the Sugya and Kiddushin. Bevigdoba. It says, Gevalt, six lines down. We won't read this entire paragraph just to get the flavor. Six lines from the top of the first paragraph. Here we are. Amud Dalad, Simikuf Tazayin, Ra'inu, Girsos HaTalmud, Vashisos HaTanoim, Chalukos, Bedin Yeshayim Likul Masoros. It seems to be a disconnect between different passages in the Gemara, between the sheet of the very same Tana, sometimes with Dorish Mikra and Masoros, Devri HaKol, like Evad, Ubad, Ovad, Yiten Yutan, for those who remember their Machshirin or their Elul Metzias. Yutan Duman de Yiten, the word Yud Tav Nun, we use both readings of it. Yiten, which is active, Yutan, which is passive. Elo Sechanim, if you have a series of Gemaras, we do both. And he's mentioned Lechemoni, and then sometimes not. And he himself says, going down a few lines, He mentions our Gemara, Basuka, Basuka, Basukos, Vaholo Kashya. Three lines from the end of the first paragraph. You could add, this is not a problem. Yesh lo v'makom shei machishin mikr masores. You could darshan both. So he is aware of Tosis' terms. This is an ancient, after all, it predates your aim, it's Rashi. But then he says, Odish v'smoah, another problem. Not merely not only the problem of Gemara, of sources, but Bimakum Shinishtar Mikra Masoras, Lamanda Rishim Mikra, Shinu Masoras Lama. That's what Tosa presented the first Kasha. What's the meaning of it? If you only darshan the Mikra, why the Torah Change it. Man damar yeshem lasora sheni mikra lama. Lama lo nikra kedino. If you hold yeshem lasora, why are we pronouncing it funny? Why not pronounce it in accordance with the din? If you're going to darshin kapas, so why don't we pronounce it kapas? Achar shel nitan ledrosh klum b'shinoi. It's similar to Tosas Kasha. It's a little bit of a twist. It's saying hagam. Okay, good. So normally we darshan both, but in a case where we don't, this is really was Yaakov's question, right? In a case where the taka is a breakdown and we are applying yeshem mikreshim l'masoros hecha de mikreshi, so then what's taka pshat in the side that we don't have? Or as he puts it, in that case, why not Kodesh Baruch Hu have both? In other words, if I hold yeshem l'masoros, so why are we pronouncing it the other way? Oh, Yeshem Mikra, why is it spelled that way? Good. 95% of the time, it's not an issue. But in those cases where this is where we have to say Yeshem Mikra Masoras, so what's going on with the other one? See, here's where he says something fascinating. I'm gonna give you an idea, and my Yisrael is gonna solve it. Like I said before, this is the first level. You just figure out even how to read what the Yerim is saying, and then figure out what the ideas that he's driving it on. He says, Yisod number one, it's really a machlokas about biblical Hebrew. It's really a machlokas about biblical Hebrew, and what's the right way to interpret the text. And then the next word is not v'hamutar, v'hamosar. I'm going to give you one example. The Yisod is, it's really machlokas over Hebrew. Everything else flows from that. It's not a machlokes of hara darshan. Tosfos assumes it's machlokes of hara darshan. When you darshan, do you give slight preference to the spelling and the pronunciation? Yerim says that's not correct. It's a machlokes about Hebrew. That's yisod number one. Yisod number two of the Yerim is coming up soon. And he says, I'll give you one example. You'll figure out, you'll use my example to apply to the others. We, Baruch Hashem, zachinu, that his example is our sugya. Basukos, basukos, basukos. So how does that work? Says Rabbanan Savri Yesh Eim LaMasores. The first lashon of the Gemara. What does that mean? Sovereign Hadaikus Din Havaras Os Lios Bevav. That the accurate way to spell such a pronunciation, Havaras pronunciation, would be with a vav. If the word is sukkos, the accurate way to spell it is with a vav. I mentioned a number of guys during Seder that there are words that typically are spelled male, and there are words that typically are spelled chaser. And that's an incredibly important preliminary fact to know in going into this Yerim. For instance, as I mentioned to a couple of guys, what's the singular of Yonim? Yonah. What's this? Right? Yonah. Right? What's the plural of chok? Chokim. Not chokim. Interesting. So without getting into, there's a lot of grammatical lumdus behind it, but now that time of grammatical lumdus, and we need hakdamas, and it's not, the lumdus behind it is not relevant right now. What's relevant is, there's a good reason why it becomes chukim, but it's linked to the fact that chok is spelled like that, without a vav. In Mishnaic Hebrew, we might write b'chukosai like that, with a vav, but in the Chumash, it's without a vav. So without Hesber, I'll just let you know, in case you're curious, the fact that without a vav is linked to the fact that it becomes chukim rather than chokim. Yonah is with a vav, and it's yonim, not yunim. Right, to do what the shorish is. The shorish here is ches kuf kuf, not ches vav kuf. That's why there's dagish chazak. So if you're interested in the lumdas, that's the lumdas. But the point relevant for our Yerim is not the why. He's going to address a little bit of is the why even knowable? It talks about at the end. But the point is, the word chok is consistently spelled in biblical Hebrew, ches kuf. It would be incorrect to spell it ches vav kuf. That's wrong in biblical Hebrew. In Mishnei Kiyubi, you spell Ches Vav Kuf. In Biblical Hebrew, that's you would get, if you were taking a spelling test 2,700 years ago, and you spelled Chol Ches Vav Kuf, your Rebbe would mark you wrong. That's incorrect. While Yonah, the correct spelling is Yud Vav Nun He, not Yud Nun He. That's the first thing that Yuan wants us to notice, is that there are correct typical spellings for different words. Certain words, if you had a dictionary of Biblical Hebrew, certain kolams are consistently spelled male with a vav, and certain kolams, kolam is an O sound, are consistently spelled chaser without a vav. There's a right and wrong. It's not random. That's a, as he said before, his opening line was, we're starting, the issue is an issue of Biblical Hebrew. So he says, but here's where it gets exciting. Is if you hold Yeshem Lamasores, that means that this word, I stress this word, ought to be spelled with a vav. Sukkos. What's the grammatically correct way in Biblically Hebrew? And let me stress. In other words, it's not even the question of chumash. It's not a question of the holiness of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to convey in the holy text of chumash. That comes later. The first step in the chain of reasoning, chain of svara, it's if you lived in the days of Yeshayahu Hanavi and you were writing a shopping list, how would you write? Or, you know, if you're in the Chizkiyahu water tunnels, they have an inscription there from the days of Yeshayahu Hanavi and King Chizkiyahu. It's not Kisvei HaKodesh, but it's a Jew who spoke Biblical Hebrew, the same Biblical Hebrew that Yeshayahu and Chizkiyahu spoke. And they had a way of spelling it, even with writing secular things. They had a way of spelling it. How would you spell it? He says, let's read one more line, and then I'll leave you with a thought. He says, if you hold that Rabbanan, the proper way to spell this is...
Attention students, the Makolet is now open, but seniors, before you go to the Makolet, please make your way to the main office to pick up your caps and gowns if you haven't done so yet, and then the Makolet will open. Everyone should have a great lunch.
Valdir. The starting point is Sukkos ought to be spelled with a vav, and you need a comma here. Umashe chaser vav lidrosh. And therefore, the anomalous, the anomalous thing is a spelling.
Also, seniors, after you get your cap and gown, and after you pick up your snacks from the kolet, and all juniors who are taking the APs, all juniors and seniors who are taking the APs, any AP, please make your way to the library. Juniors right now, seniors after you go to the office and get your snack. And juniors, you all get a snack.
That would have been a good cash. Okay. There's a hand turn, but no, seniors have a to get snacks. Sukkos is supposed to be he says you have to figure out what's abnormal. Whatever is abnormal is the anomaly that's nitan lidrosh. If the normal way to spell it is Sukkos with a vav, so then the chisar in the spelling is odd, and never get darsh in the spelling. And one thing that you may notice, which we'll talk about tomorrow, Mitchem, I thought we'd finish this day, but Varshan got involved in hopefully better pshat and taisis. We'll wrap this up later tomorrow. But one thing to think about, or take with us to Seder tomorrow, is that one major thing is he's starting from Hebrew, not from the rules of drushes, and we'll see how he cheshbons it out in a very fascinating way. The other thing is that for the major chishirim is that every case is separate. It's not a rule of Yeshem Mikra Yeshem Masoris. In any given word, every given context, which is anomalous. And that's going to open up the door to saying, I don't have to hold the same thing in all segments. More of that tomorrow.